Good morning, church. What a blessing it is to see you all today and to be present with you for the praising of our God, the sharing in the remembrance, the petitioning of our God, the giving of our means. This is such an important thing that we do every week. And you know, God doesn't need our worship. He would be every bit God without our worship. He desires our worship. But you know that when we worship God, to a large degree, it's for our benefit. That we acknowledge one who is greater than we are. That we allow ourselves to be put in the proper position. It helps us to maintain or even create humility in our lives when we understand that there's one who is greater than us. And that is such a benefit. Especially in this me, myself, and I saturated society that we live in. Because it's not all about us. As a matter of fact, very little of it is about us. It is about God. It is about His Son, Jesus Christ. It is about His Holy Spirit. It is about His will in this world. And that's where we've got to reground ourselves. And worship helps us to do that. I'm so thankful to be here with you today. And I know we have some of our church family who are traveling. We also have some who've traveled in to be with us. We're grateful for your presence. We pray for the safety of those who've gone away and who will be returning to us. This week, we are going to do part two of why Jesus came. And I hope you'll gather your thoughts and apply your mind to the Word of God this morning as we examine this subject matter again today. Would you pray with me as we begin? Holy Father, we thank you so much for the blessings of this day, for the blessings of this life. We are grateful, Father, that you have called us into your presence to worship you. Help us always, in everything that we say and do, to acknowledge you, our Creator God, for who you are and what you've done. Father, through the name of Jesus, we come before you and we ask for your blessings to be upon us as we continue to worship in the looking into your word and hearing a message from it. Bless us as together we share in this. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we looked at the prophecy of Zechariah. I'd like to return to that this morning, and we want to look at another aspect of this beautiful, beautiful prophecy. As we recall, he was a Levite. It was his time to serve. He goes in. He sees the angel Gabriel. He says, "You're going to have a son." He is questioned. "How shall I know that these things are true?" He's questioning the angel, and he is struck mute. "You will not be able to speak until these things take place." Well, eventually, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. She gave birth 9 months later to a son by the name of John, but they were wondering what his name should be, and they were going to name him after his father. And he wrote on a tablet, "John," and he was able to speak. And he begins praising God, this beautiful prophecy that comes forth. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, his father prophesied, saying, beginning in verse 67, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of the holy prophets who have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, to grant us, we being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." May God bless the reading of his word. We have in front of us this incredible prophecy about the Christ who is coming. Now, when Elizabeth was around 6 months pregnant, Mary appears before her, and the child within her womb, who would be John, who is spoken of here toward the end of this prophecy, leaps, as it were, within the womb of his mother Elizabeth, as he was in the presence of Mary, who had recently become pregnant with Jesus. So Jesus is still about 3 months away from his birth. And being filled with the Holy Spirit, Zacharias, he comes to us down through these years, and he tells us what would be with this child who is born, who will grow up and who will accomplish the will of God that had been prophesied since the world began. This is often called a song of hope. And as you look into this prophecy, you can see the hope. It is saturated with hope because it looks to a future fulfillment for the benefit of the people of God, even outside the people of God who would come to be the people of God. Last week we looked at Jesus coming into the world to take care of our sins, to deliver us, to be that day spring, spouting forth the blessings of God. Today we want to look at this part from verse 79. To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The second thing we want to examine is that Jesus came to the earth to bring light. You'll notice Darren accommodated me today with several songs that had light as the theme of those songs. There's sunshine in my soul today, not because of me, and no offense, but not because of you, but because of him. There's sunshine in my soul. Light of the world, you came down into darkness. Open my eyes. Let me see. What a beautiful thought. And of course, the end of that is we carry that light forth into the world. We send that light out as we leave this place. We send it into the darkness. We take it into the darkness, so that Jesus can continue to fulfill the purpose for which he came to this earth. To shine upon us. You know, the world can be a pretty dark place. And without Christ in the world, imagine how dark it would be. If with his light, we see the darkness that we see. Hatred abounds. And that's because the world is under the sway of Satan. But you know what the beautiful thing is about light? Darkness doesn't really exist. Darkness is a term to describe the absence of light. Darkness is a term that describes the absence of light. Now, minus 473 Kelvin, for those of you who remember science class or who have recently been studying that, is called absolute zero. It is the point at which no heat exists. Cold doesn't really exist. Cold is a term that describes the absence of heat. Light exists. Darkness is the absence of light. And when we see darkness in the world, what are we saying? We are seeing the absence of light. If we were able to black out these windows, cut out all of the lights, make it perfectly dark in this room, if I lit a match right here, do you know this room would no longer be dark? That you could actually see? It would be very dim, granted, but it wouldn't be dark because there would be light present in this room. We are that light. We carry the light of Jesus into this world so that that darkness cannot consume the world. And Jesus came to bring that light. In John chapter 8 and verse 12, perhaps the most well-known verse where Jesus speaks of himself being light, Jesus then spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John brings to us seven of these I am statements. For Jesus, I'm the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd, etc. Here he's talking about, I am the light of the world. What a beautiful thing to think about. There's a lot of people that would like to be the light. And they always shine the light upon themselves. But you know what the true light does? Those of us carrying that true light, we always shine the light on him and not ourselves. Because he's the light of the world. In Matthew chapter 4, in our opening, we read from Isaiah. And here, Matthew records for us the fulfillment of what Isaiah prophesied 700 years before Jesus comes to the earth. Verses 12 through 16. Now when Jesus heard that John had been put into prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea, in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and the shadow of death, light has dawned." What a marvelous thing to think that Jesus comes not only to bring light, but he's fulfilling the prophecy that God had been calling down through the ages from the prophet, saying he's going to do this very thing. If Jesus came and did something different, then the prophecies would be wrong. But Jesus comes and fulfills those things in a magnificent and beautiful way for our benefit and the benefit of all of those who are a part of this great blessing. Now, to whom has this been given? To those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. Let me take you somewhere in the past. For those of you who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and are spiritually his children, there was a time when you were not. This describes you. You were in darkness, and you were covered by the shadow of death, spiritual death and impending physical death. This is you. For those who have not obeyed the gospel and made Jesus your Lord and Master, you're still there. And I don't mean that in any hateful, hurtful, or spiteful way. I'm just speaking reality. And I hope that if you are in that circumstance today, that you pay really close attention to what we're going to talk about as we finish out this lesson, so you can see the beauty of the light coming into the world. You don't have to stay where this describes. John 3:19. We love John 3:16, don't we? But you know, there's a lot more to John 3 than just John 3:16. A lot of beautiful truths. In John 3:19, Jesus says, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." This is just an aside. When our founding fathers created this nation, they had rules that they would not violate. And of course, now we live in a different time and different leaders, and they've changed a lot of these rules. But what the founding fathers would not do is they would not pass a law under the cover of darkness. Do you know why? Because Jesus was tried under the cover of darkness, and that falsity led to his death. And they did not want to do anything under the cover of darkness, lest the people of this country saw them trying to take advantage of a situation. Now, whether they did or didn't fulfill that in what they actually did do, that's a great sentiment. That you would view the things that you do as not wanting them to be done under the cover of darkness. Why do we do things under the cover of darkness? Because our hearts are evil, and we do not want our deeds exposed by the light. Returning to the opening of this precious gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it, as some of your translations may read. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. This theme of Jesus being light coming into the world, John the Apostle doesn't run from it. He throws it right at the very beginning of his gospel. So we can see the importance of that very thing. Darkness. Let's talk about darkness for just a minute. Typically, when we talk about darkness in the scripture, what are we talking about? We're talking about sin. In the Colossian letter, the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 1:13, he has conveyed us out of darkness and into the kingdom of his beloved Son. This is the concept of Jesus taking us, transferring us from the power of darkness and bringing us into his beautiful kingdom. And that is how darkness is typically used in the scripture. But I don't want to just stop there, because sometimes our days get really dark from circumstances beyond our control. Maybe there's darkness in your life right now because you just feel under a cloud, because you're a single parent trying and struggling to raise your child or your children. And you just feel like there's no end, there's no hope. Jesus came to bring light. Maybe you're a person who is alone this holiday season without a spouse, without one of your parents. And you feel alone and you want to withdraw into the darkness. Jesus came to bring light. Holidays are hard. And while many of us are rejoicing and we've got our tree up and we've got all of our ornaments and we've got presents and we've got family coming over, and we got this huge meal planned. There are some people that are sitting in a corner of darkness about to die internally. Help them see the light that Jesus brought. A person who's burdened with financial difficulties may feel like the darkness is just too much. Maybe they can't even help their family to have a decent holiday this year. You know, there's a reason why around the holidays the highest suicide rates occur. Because people just lose hope. They can't see the light. And they find themselves in darkness many times. And they're all alone, but they're not alone. Because Jesus came down to those who were in darkness and the shadow of death to give light, to bring light. Maybe you're in darkness because of severed relationship between you and your parents, you and your children, you and your spouse. See, darkness can overcome us in many ways, not just the sin darkness that Jesus came to dispel, but all of the darkness that struggles humanity in this thing we call life. Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. That light gives way to an abundant life. Maybe there's someone who's struggling with a very difficult prognosis today. You know, there's a lot of ways people can be in darkness. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, Jesus did not come to bring peace on earth as in political entities not butting heads. Because I'm going to tell you, if that's the reason he came to bring peace, he failed miserably. And if you believe that Jesus came to do that, you need to look at the last 2,000 years of history, because it didn't happen. Matter of fact, there's people in the name of Christ that actually started wars. He doesn't approve of that. But the peace that Jesus came to bring is peace between man and God, and the peace between me and Ron, between me and whoever, so that we can be reconciled, brought back together in a wonderful relationship. That's the type of peace that he came to bring. And if everybody gave into that peace, guess what? There would be world peace. But what did Jesus say? Man loved darkness. That's why we have wars. That's why we have these conflicts. That's why people die at the hands of others, because we love darkness. Psalm 119:105, a preview into our theme for this upcoming year. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I'm going to say it again. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You see, Jesus coming and bringing light was to guide our feet in the path or way of peace. It's a lamp to our feet. Do you know what that means? That means that God's word shows us or exposes where we are. God shows us where we are. We don't have to guess. That light is shining around our feet, and we see exactly where we are through the lens of God's word. Whether we are right or wrong, it shows us. Whether we're lost or we're saved, it shows us. But it is also a light to our path. it shows or exposes the way that we are to go, the safe way. Your word shows me where I am and shows me where I need to go. What a beautiful thought that is. In that simple verse, you know, we sing the song that Amy Grant wrote years ago from that verse. But we need to stop and think about what that's actually saying. It's so simple, but it's so profound. Jesus came to bring that light so we could see where we are, so we could know where we need to go. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who find it. But narrow is the gate and difficult the way that leads to life, and few there are who find it. Why is that? Because men love darkness. They will not come into the light to see the truth. As we kind of wrap things up this morning, I'd like to draw your attention to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Beginning in verse 44. Then Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide, remain, stay, where? In darkness. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus here is saying his words are that guidance for us. They tell us what we are to do. And when we reject his words, we're going to be judged by those words that we reject. When we accept those words, we're still going to be judged by those words, but we're going to be judged faithful to him. Why? Because he's come, verse 46, as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not remain in darkness. Jesus came to bring light. Don't remain in darkness. There's no reason to. The price has already been paid to turn on the lights, to get you out of that darkness. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? Are you willing to confess his precious name, turn from your sins, be buried in water for the remission of those sins, that you might be raised to walk in that new life, that forgiven life, that life where you've been conveyed from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Jesus Christ, his beloved Son? Where he turns on the lights in your life, opening your eyes where you can truly see. If you're in darkness today, that's what you need to be focused on. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And contrary to what some people think, it's not a train heading your way. That's Jesus Christ and your redemption right there. The price has been paid. Accept on his terms and his conditions this most amazing and eternal gift that he offers you today. Maybe you've done those things, But maybe like that list of things, maybe for health reasons, relationship reasons, for struggles that you're having, what financial, whatever it may be, you're finding yourself withdrawing into a dark cloud. Come out. Jesus came to bring light for you too in that circumstance, that you could come back into the light and see the beautiful things that he has done for you. Can we pray with you? Can we pray for you? Can we encourage you this morning? Or do you need to obey for the first time that precious gospel and be immersed in water for the remission of your sins? We'd love to help you. But won't you please make that known to us as now we stand and sing.